It's all over but the matzah. The seders are finished. We've told the story. Now we just can't eat certain things, go to synagogue a few times, and we're done. And the truth is that Passover with its ritual, like Sukkot with its ritual, really brings us back to an earlier time, and we don't want to dwell there for too long, because Judaism, while reverencing the past, doesn't want us to live there. But it is worth asking, since those two holidays in particular of the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach and Sukkot, really situate us physically, one with a story and one with the Sukkah, situate us physically in a particular time in Israel's history. It's worth asking, what connects those people to us? The people who liberated themselves or were liberated by God from Egypt, what connects them to us? Can't be the Torah, because they didn't get the Torah yet. The normal answer of what it is that has kept the Jewish people alive, the answer of Sadya Gaon, Ein Imanu Am, there is not among us a nation except for the Torah. That can't be for the people who left Egypt, because they hadn't gotten to Sinai yet. And even though the rabbis say that in fact the Torah was given before the world was created, we can think of that as sort of rabbinic hyperbole. In fact, the Torah itself depicts itself as being given in part at Sinai, and we know that before that, our ancestors had to make their way as best they could. So what ties them to us? I've thought about this. Before Sinai, why are we connected here at Sinai? And I've thought of four things that really tie us to those ancestors, and one of them, by the way, is not genetics. I have no idea how much genetic material, if any, people here share with the ancient Israelites. I'm sure some of us share a little bit more. The Kohen gene is encouraging. But after all, over the centuries, we've been in a lot of places. We have, so to speak, met many different people. Our people have grown and then, through persecution, have diminished. Who knows whether there's a continuous genetic strain? And certainly, for many of us, we know there isn't. So let's put that aside. We still have four things, and maybe more. The first is that our ancestors from Egypt on their way to Israel had a relationship to God. And it was a unique relationship, a Jewish relationship, not only as individuals, but as a people. And I would argue, even if you don't believe in God, you have a relationship to God. You may be fully aware of it or not, but... And certainly, Klal Yisrael, the people Israel, has a relationship to God. And that has remained continuous from the first moment that Abraham looked up at the sky until today. Like all relationships, it's changed in various ways. And we don't even have to say ours is the best relationship. It can be unique without claiming best or worst. You can have a unique relationship with your father or your mother without saying, and by the way, she liked me best of all my siblings. I'm now not concerned to define God's relationship with other peoples or other nations or other religions. I'm talking about us. From the beginning, we have had a unique relationship to God, and that's the first thing that ties us to our ancestors even before the Torah was given. Because Abraham, Sarah, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rivka, Leah, they didn't have the Torah, but they knew God. Second, the people who wandered the desert were on a quest. They were unhappy with the way the world was and needed to make it better. And that has never changed. Never in Jewish history, I think, has a Jew stood up who has any knowledge and feel for the Jewish tradition and looked at the world and said, you know what? It's good enough. We just don't think that way. We sometimes think this is a nice afternoon, but we don't think the world really doesn't need any work. That sense of dissatisfaction, of mission, of quest, of destiny started at the very beginning. It's why Abraham is a wanderer, why Joseph is a wanderer, why Moshe is a wanderer, why we have always sought, whether we wander physically, intellectually, spiritually, morally, to make the world better, and we have looked around the world for solutions to its brokenness and its pain. Then third is the Jewish relationship to one another. We started off being a people, not a person. Remember that the Torah says, Nivra Adam Yechidi. Well, the Talmud commenting on the Torah says that. A human being was created singly. But the Jewish people was not created singly. When God comes to Abraham and says, Lech Lecha, you go, Abraham doesn't go alone. He goes with his family, with his household, with, according to the rabbis, all the people that he brought under the wings of the Shekhinah, all the people that he brought to God, he goes in the beginning as a group. That's why everywhere you find Jews, you find a community. Our relationship to one another goes back thousands of years. You can't be a Jew alone on a mountaintop. You don't have a minion. And then lastly, something that started from the very beginning is Eretz Yisrael. From the start, God said to Abraham, you're headed towards Israel. You may begin in Ur Kasdim, but that's not where you're going to end up. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, from now on, you're going to say, L'shana haba'a b'Yerushalayim. And that is, after all, the real theme of the Exodus story, less where we came from than where we're going to. And that has always been where we were going to. I know that most of us don't practice it today, but are you aware of the fact that for many, many generations, Jews would leave a corner of their house unpainted? Some of you may practice this without even knowing that it's a Jewish tradition. And the reason you would do that is to say, this is my temporary house. I'm not going to finish this house because I'm getting ready to leave. As soon as the Mashiach comes, or if I'm lucky, even before that, I'm headed to Israel. Now along comes the Torah and solidifies and gives flesh to and direction and understanding to all these things, but understand that they were encoded in our spiritual DNA even before Sinai. It's one of the reasons why we were ready for the Torah in the first place. because this is just built into the Jewish people. We have a sense that there's something greater than ourselves, that this world needs help, that we are related to one another, and that there is a place in this world that we need to support, defend, and inhabit. So that's a beautiful thing to know. When you ask yourself, what, after all, makes all the various strands of the Jewish people tied together in a world in which we are divided? And that has always been the world. These are the things. These are the things. We sometimes say God, Torah, Israel, but in fact, even before Torah, Torah is the expression in some ways of what it is that we held dear from our first moments appearing in the world. So when we bring people, as we do, just like Abraham, under the wings of the Shekhinah, this is what we need to teach them. And this is what we need to share with them. Our sense of God, our love for one another, our need to fix God's world, the promise of Eretz Yisrael, and that one day the world will be better and be at peace. All of the tradition then rushes in and explains what that means and tells you how to live in order to do that. But the bedrock was there from the beginning. And so on Passover, we understand what it's like to leave Egypt because we share the same world outlook through so many different generations and countries and languages and technologies and life circumstances. We share the same fundamental outlook as our ancestors. And because we do, we have made the world a much, much better place for our presence. We are not done. One day I have this image that the world will be perfect and God will say, okay, you can now disband the Jewish community. Your mission is finished. But we are a long way from that. And until we are, let us remember what it is that we stand for and what it is that we were called to do. And we can see everything from the grandest notions to the institutions we build, to the ceremonies we enact, to the book we cherish, as enabling us to draw closer to God, closer to one another, to love the land of Israel, and to fix the world. It's a big job. Somebody's got to do it. Shabbat Shalom.